Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome to the program, brothers and sisters. We are talking about Fatima and the relationship that the popes have had with this particular revelation, with this private revelation. When I mean private revelation, I'm thinking of the opposite of the private revelation, that is the public revelation of Jesus Christ. And it has been, it is interesting to note that the popes have, the popes from Benedict XV up to the present pope, they have been in a close relationship with Fatima. Look at this present pope as consecrated his pontificate to the Our Lady of Fatima. He didn't come himself, he didn't go to Fatima himself, but he commissioned the cardinal there to consecrate to Our Lady of Fatima his pontificate. And he did come for in 2017 for the canonization of the two little kids, the first little kids to be canonized in the whole Catholic Church, in the whole history of the Catholic Church. And so we came to canonize them, and so he also came to Fatima. So there has been a close relationship between the popes and Fatima since Benedict XV, and as I told you in the last program, somehow it was maybe one of the reasons of this close relationship between the popes and Fatima is that somehow, indirectly or providentially, Fatima, the intervention of Our Blessed Mother in the history of humanity in the 20th century, it was asked by the Pope Benedict XV. Remember, I told you that on May the 5th of 1917, Benedict XV, the sitting pope at that time, he wrote a letter to the Secretary of State, and in that letter he asked the intervention and the mediation of Our Blessed Mother so that the world would have peace. Remember, we were right in the middle of the First World War, and so we asked for peace. And indeed, Our Blessed Mother came 8 days later, on the 13th of that month, and offering a plan for peace. And also she announced the end of the war, of that First World War, and it's like we say in English, is good news. I have good news and bad news to tell you. First, she said the good news, that's the way it is, and the good news is that the First World War was going to end, but then the bad news is that a worse war was to start, as indeed It started in the 40s. So that is the question about the popes, the Pius Pius XI is the pope that succeeds Pius Benedict XV. Benedict XV, so is the pope that during his pontificate it happened. They happened the apparitions, and right from him, he was the one who approved the reinstallation of the diocese of Leiria, that is now called Leiria Fatima. And and one of the reasons that helped for him to decide in reinstalling that diocese, it was because of the apparitions of Fatima, the events of Fatima. Of course, he could not approve them because they have to be first approved by the local bishop. But the popes start relating to Fatima in a positive way, in a approving way, long before the local bishop, and even when the local church was still very much against it. So, and we have the Pius XI, and I told you certain things that he did, like sending somebody to Fatima already, and having an image of Fatima sent to the Portuguese seminarians, Portuguese seminary in Rome, and one of the important images, that one that was done by José Ferreira Tadin, the one that the main images, and that the one that is in the chapel, the one that is in Coimbra, in the monastery where Lucia was till the end of her life. And so somehow the local bishop only approved Fatima on October 13, 1930, but the popes were already somehow dealing positively with Fatima. And now we come to the next pope, Pius the 12th, is the pope that succeeds Pius XI. His pontificate goes from March the 2nd, 1939, to October 1958. Now, from the 13th of May of 1917, in which Eugenio Pacelli received episcopal consecration to the dramatic 13 May 1881, on which the blood of the Vicar of Christ was spilled on the ground in Rome, to 25th March 84, when John Paul II himself, in union with all the bishops of the world and with the reference to Pius XII, consecrate humankind and the people of Russia anew to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, repeating the vow of trust uttered in 1982, an invisible thread passing through Fatima unites the two pontificates, placing them under the maternal protection of our Blessed Mother. So what happened on 13th of May 1917, apart from the apparitions of Fatima? Well, Eugenio Pacelli is the one that was going to become Pius XII. He received the episcopal consecration on that very same day. And on that very same day in 81, we have the Pope John Paul II was shot, and he could have died, and he attributed to a miracle that he didn't die, because Our Lady of Fatima precisely needed him. And we will see later on, speaking about the popes, how Our Lady of Fatima used him in a way to change the things in the 20th century. We will come when we speak about John Paul II, which is who is the fourth shepherd of Fatima, as I say. So we will remind you of all these things and so many, many others Oh, our Blessed Mother of Fatima worked through him, till the end of the Soviet Union and especially the militant atheism. So he consecrated, John Paul II consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that consecration was the one that was valid. The consecration of the Pius XII, so to say, in the words of Lucia, was not accepted because Russia was not mentioned. The name of Russia was never mentioned, but the name of Russia was not mentioned even in the consecration of John Paul II. But it was much closer. It was much closer. In the second part of this program, I will read you the act of consecration to the Immaculate Heart by Pope Pius XII. And there is an entire paragraph in which indirectly Russia is mentioned. I will tell you where Russia is mentioned. But of course, John Paul II was more explicit, even if he himself never mentioned the name of Russia, because it was a diplomatic row, a diplomatic problem, and the head of state doing such a thing, because the Pope is a head of state too, is not just the Pope. And so that is a problem. And it was, I don't know much about how diplomatic problem it is by consecrating a country that is a Christian country, as you know, Russia, Orthodox Christian, but was not presenting itself as Christian, and so there were diplomatic problems. And of course, maybe only the Pope is aware of them. So then, even there, the name was not mentioned. But Lucia said, probably she inquired about how, and our Blessed Mother told Lucia to tell the Pope that the consecration was accepted, and that's how it happened. But not the one of Pius XII. Pius XII was so much in tone with the message of Fatima that he mentioned in 1940. It's the first time that a pope mentions Fatima in that way. And in an encyclical that's called Saeculum Eneunte, written by Pius XII on 1950. So it's interesting that the Pope that represents, it's the sign and the symbol of the public revelation, because he's the vicar of Christ, so he represents the public revelation of Jesus Christ, God made man, in an encyclical, the encyclical are about the matter of an encyclical are, of course, the public revelation, but yet he mentioned a private revelation in this encyclical, which is somehow interesting, that the one who represents the public revelation also, and in a document where he exercises that faculty of representing the public revelation, which are the encyclicals, and he mentions Fatima. And another mention of Fatima by Pius XII is one meeting the Superior General of the Dominicans, and he told him, "Tell your friars that the Pope's thought is contained in the message of Fatima. That the Pope's thought is contained in the message of Fatima." So to say that the public revelation is contained in this private revelation, so to say, this. Of course not, but it means that he meant that he's very much in attune with the message of Fatima, So that, you know, look, I don't need to tell your friars anything else other than what it is in the message of Fatima. So tell your friars, go and read it. And that's my thought. So I completely agree with it. And the other thing that happened, this Pope, he claims that that he has seen, he claims that he has seen the miracle of the sun. And the way he describes it, it's the very same way it was described, the one of Fatima, witnessed by 70,000 people. So the papal note says that on the 4th of at the 4 o'clock, October the 30, 1950, during the habitual walk in the Vatican Gardens, reading and studying, having arrived to the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes toward the top of the hill, was awestruck by a phenomenon that before now I had never seen, says the Pope. The sun, which was still quite high, looked like a pale, opaque sphere, entirely surrounded by a luminous circle, he recounted, and one could look at the sun without the slightest bother. There was a very light little cloud in front of it. The Holy Father's note goes on to describe the opaque sphere that moved outwardly slightly, either spinning or moving from left to right and vice versa, but within the sphere you could see marked movements with total clarity and without interruption. So this is the very same miracle of Fatima. Although now, for the Pope's Pius XII, let me say, put it in this way, for the Pope Pius XII, it was not a miracle. So the same natural phenomena that the Pope saw is not a miracle. But that same very natural phenomena that happened in Fatima, it's a miracle. Why is it a miracle? Because these things happen. They are natural phenomena. They happen. But what is miraculous in Fatima is that it was pre-announced long before. It was pre-announced long before. That's the thing. That's the difference. Things happen. It has a name. Is a natural phenomena, and I will speak late in the program again about it. But and describe it in how and what are the conditions in the atmosphere for this to happen. But the thing is that Lucia announced that something was going to happen, and Lucia didn't know it was a miracle of the sun. She said that she said right from the second apparition that Our Lady would make a miracle, as I told you, Lucia thought that the miracle would be the end of the war, the First World War. Indeed, it was not that, but it was the miracle of the sun. So the miracle about it is that it was announced months before, and indeed, people were waiting for something, and that something happened. So this second half of the program, I want to dedicate most of it to read to you this prayer, because it's a beautiful prayer. The Pope Pius XII was indeed very much inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this prayer, that the one that he used in the act of the consecration of Russia and the rest of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that was done. Pius XII did it in the middle of the Second World War. So this is the Pope of the Second World War, and as you know, he had been the nuncio. He knew a lot about the origin of the Second World War, because he had been the nuncio of Germany. So the Vatican ambassador of Germany as a bishop. So we knew what was being cooked there, and all this war. The Pope was very much informed. He saved many Jews. That must be said. He saved many Jews. So this act of the consecration is done in the middle of this horrible war that was much worse than the first. And it says like this: Queen of the Holy Rosary, help of the Christians, refuge of the human race, conquerors in God's battlefields, to you and to your Immaculate Heart, in this tragic hour of human history, we entrust and consecrate ourselves and the Holy Church. She is the mystical body of your Jesus, suffering and bleeding in so many parts, and tormented in so many ways. We consecrate to you the whole world, torn by bitter strife and consumed by the fire of hatred, the victim of its own wickedness. Look with compassion to all material and moral destruction, to the suffering and fears of fathers and mothers, of husbands and wives, of brothers and sisters and innocent children. Look at the many lives cut down in the flower of youth, so many bodies torn to pieces in brutal slaughter, so many souls tortured and troubled and in danger of being lost eternally. O Mother of Mercy, obtain peace for us from God. Obtain especially those graces which can convert human hearts quickly, those graces which can prepare, establish, and ensure peace. Queen of Peace, pray for us. Give the world at war the peace for which all are longing, peace in truth, justice, and the charity of Christ. Give them peace of the arms and peace of mind, that in tranquility and order the kingdom of God may expand. Grant your protection to infidels and to those still walking in the shadow of death. Give them peace and permit that the sun of truth may rise upon them, and that together with us they may repeat before the only Savior of the world, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among men of good will. Give peace to the people separated by error and schism, particularly those who have especially devotion to you, and among whom there was no home, where your venerable icon was not honored, though at present it may be hidden in the hope for better days. Bring them back to the one fold of Christ, under the one true shepherd. I make a pause here in the prayer, because this paragraph that I have just read is the one that Russia is very, very much indirectly mentioned. First, the Pope, as Our Lady of Fatima wanted, so he's consecrating the world, the Church, and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is one of the statues of Fatima. So the one of the little chapel is different from the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but they both have more or less the same faith, the same face. And the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the real one, that did by Tadin, is in the monastery where Lucia was a nun at the, until the end of her life, where she passed away. And so this prayer mentions first the consecration of the Church and the world, and then it comes where it starts, grant your protection to infidels. Infidels, he means certainly the atheists. And one thing that is not really nice about this, he mentions those still walk in the shadow of death, give them peace and permit the Son of the Truth may rise upon them. They may repeat before the only Savior, and peace to the people separated by error and schism. Well, if that mentions the Orthodox, is not nice to say, because the schism, yes, we are separated by schism, but they are an apostolic church too. And so they need to be respected. And that separation between Catholic, the Catholic divided into Orthodox and Catholic, was to blame on the Catholic as much as in the Orthodox. Not just the fault is not just in one place. So of course, it's still Pius XII. We'll see that his successor reaches out to the Orthodox, Paul VI visit or talk with the Archbishop of Athens, the Patriarch of Athens, and so the relationship from that started to be much better, although not with one of Russia. That is a different. The relationship between the Catholic Church and the Greece, they are fairly good, but ones with Russia not as much, and the Russians, most of the Orthodox are Russians, not Greek. So, and in particular those especially devotion to you, and among whom there was no home. You mentioned Russia now. There was no home before the atheistic revolution, before the October 1917 revolution, the Bolshevik revolution, and say, among whom there was no home, where your venerable icon, you see, the Orthodox venerate not statues like the Catholics, but they venerate icons that are pictures, well done and full of meaning, full of signs and symbols that represent their faith. So there were no house, that there was no icon of Mary that was not honored. So at present, it says, at present, because of the atheism is enforced and there is no freedom of religion, at present it may be hidden in the hope for better days. You see, the Pope is here a bit of humor, in the hope of better days. And of course, those better days came eventually when with Gorbachev, Gorbachev stop that thing. And so there was freedom of religion with Gorbachev, that people of Russia could practice their faith, although communism still continued for a while, but the people could practice their faith from Gorbachev on. So perestroika means conversion of Russian, which is this reconversion of Russian, because atheism has never come down to the Russian, to the soul of Russia, that has been always Christian right from the beginning. So this is the place. Bring them back to one fold of Christ under the one true shepherd. You know, this is the Pope saying that he's the one true shepherd of all Christians. Okay, so that's the mentality of the Pope Pius XII. Of course, in Second Vatican Council, that there will be some change on that, and there will be some ecumenic efforts. Paul the Sixth did lots of ecumenic efforts, and after him, also Pope John Paul II also did reached out for the Orthodox. So let us continue and finish this prayer. So I just wanted to tell you where somehow the name of Russia was coming, although without being named, the name of Russia being named, but indirectly and very indirectly, and with a bit of, I would say, a bit of criticism of the Orthodox is mentioned. And so continue the prayer says, obtain peace and complete liberty for the Holy Church of God. Check the spreading flood of neopaganism, that means the militant atheism. Arouse within the faithful love of purity, the practice of Christian life and apostolic zeal, so that the people who serve God may increase in merit and number. All of humanity were once consecrated to the heart of your Son. All our hopes rest in him, who is in all times sign and pledge of victory and salvation. Forever we consecrate ourselves to you and to your Immaculate Heart. O Mother and Queen of the world, may your love and patronage hasten the victory of the Kingdom of God. May all nations at peace with each other and with God proclaim you blessed, and sing with you from one end to the earth to the other. The eternal Magnificat of glory, love, and gratitude to the heart of Jesus, in which alone they can find truth, life, and peace. So this was the prayer and the act of the consecration of the Pope Pius XII, whose statue is in Fatima. Is one of the. There are three statues of the popes in Fatima. I haven't seen yet one of Francisco. Maybe they will build one for Francis, because he went there in a very important moment, the centenary of the apparition. So he celebrated the centenary of the apparitions in Fatima in 2017. And he also canonized the two little kids, Francisco and Jacinta. So maybe he deserves a statue there, and he probably will have it. But the three statues of popes that are there, Pius XII is one of them. Pius XII is made in marble, I believe, and it is at one side of the that big piazza. The other is Paul the VII, that celebrate the 50th anniversary of the apparitions. He came to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the apparitions, Paul the VI, and John Paul II. Of course, he came three times, and because he's the fourth shepherd of Fatima, he had to have a statue there. Those two statues are facing the main basilica, the old basilica, and they are kneeling down. like two pilgrims indeed, and the Pope, Paul VI. And both popes, they said they came in pilgrimage to Fatima like any other Christian would do. So this is the Pope Pius XII. After Pius XII, we have John the 23rd. His pontificate is from 28th of October to of 1958 to the 3rd of June of 1963. It was a very short pontificate because the Cardinal Montini, that is to become Pope Paul VI, he was the Secretary of State of Pius XII, and everybody thought that he was going to succeed Pius XII. But he was still very young, so the Church, the conclave, elected a Pope of transition, and it was indeed transition. And this Pope, although he was old and it was a papacy of transition, the Patriarch of Venice, as he was before, he was sent by Pius XII on the May 13 of 1956 to preside at the pilgrimage. So Pius XII sent the Patriarch of Venice on May the 13th, 1956, to preside the pilgrimage of that day. And he expressed his gratitude for having been invited for what he called the Festival of Mercy and Love offered by the Virgin Mary. This Pope is very important also for the world at large. He was the one who made the missiles that Russia sent to Cuba, atomic missiles. He was the one who intervened and who mediated between Russia and the United States so that the missiles came back. The missiles came back to Russia. He was the one who did it. And he also wrote an encyclical, Pacem in Terris, because at that time a third world war was indeed feared. And that Third World War was avoided somehow by the Pope. And this Cold War going on. So the Pope wrote that encyclical that was very much, needed for the situation of the world at that time. So next time we continue with Paul VI and his relationship with Fatima.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.